In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we begin with the enrollment of the novices. So, my dear brothers and sisters, what do you desire?
I desire to enter the period of preparation towards becoming a Benedictine oblate of divine will. I consecrate myself to living in the divine will so that I may one day make my promises of poverty, chastity, obedience, and charity.
Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
In the name of God, the Father Almighty, who made the heaven, the earth, and the seas, and all that is in them, I exercise your crosses against the powers and attacks of the evil one. May those who wear the Benedictine cross earnestly strive to perform good works, be blessed by you, Lord, with health of soul and body, the grace of a holy life, and the remission of the temporal punishment due to sin. May they also, with the help of your merciful love, strive to exercise true charity and justice toward all, so that one day they may appear sinless and holy in your sight. And we ask this in the name of God, the Father Almighty, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and through the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete.
Amen.
Receive this cross of Saint Benedict and be reminded of the need to take up your cross daily, following the true King, Christ our Lord. May you thus learn to share with patience in his suffering so that you may one day share in his heavenly kingdom. And we ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
So my dear brothers and sisters, in order to begin your new life with Jesus, you will be given a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will confer, and your new name in religion is?
John of the Divine Will.
Okay, thank you. Let us pray. Listen to our prayers, Lord, as we receive these oblate novices in union and affiliation with the Benedictines of the Divine Will. We beg you to grant strength and perseverance to these, your servants, who are eager to serve you, not apart from, but in the world where they live and work, having promised to follow the teachings of Saint Benedict and the Divine Will writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, as their guide. And we ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit come down upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
So now we will go to be the promises, the profession of promises. And this is for those who have been reading the Divine Will for a year or two and you feel comfortable to want to make these promises. So do you wish to profess promises as an oblate of Saint Benedict and thus be affiliated with the Benedictines of the Divine Will?
I do.
Do you dedicate yourself to the service of God and humanity according to the rule of Saint Benedict and the Divine Will writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta?
I do.
Will you strive to be faithful and persevere in your holy resolution for the rest of your life?
With the help of God's grace, I will.
Thanks be to God, since God has given you this goodwill and you trust in his help, you may now profess your promises. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
I, John of the Cross, responding to the grace the Lord has given me, for the glory of God and with the will to live more perfectly the gospel of Christ, promise to God to live for the rest of my life in obedience, in poverty, in chastity, and in charity, according to the way of life based on that of the Holy Family of Nazareth and the rule of Saint Benedict. I consecrate myself to the divine will in creation, redemption, and sanctification on behalf of Holy Church. I give myself with my whole heart to the Benedictine oblates of the divine will, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit and through the intercession of the Immaculate Mother of God, the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, our Father, Saint Benedict, and our Mother, Saint Scholastica, under the protection of good Saint Joseph, I may live more perfectly my consecration. Amen.
Amen. And I, on the part of God, the Almighty, promise you, if you observe all this faithfully, life everlasting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As God's representative, I now accept your promises and admit you into spiritual union and affiliation with the Benedictines of the Divine Will as oblates and give you the privilege of sharing in the prayers and good works of this community. So let us pray. Well, God, you blessed your holy confessor Benedict and your little daughter Luisa with the spirit of all the just. Grant that these newly accepted oblates, with the help of your grace through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, may be filled with the same spirit and faithfully carry out what they have promised. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And may the peace and blessing of Almighty God, the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit come down upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
There we go. So this is good. God is good. And so great things are coming. Amazing things are happening. And our God is asking us to get ready for this new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul II prophesied was coming. So in volume 17, 917, 1924, we'll begin with this. This is after my sweet Jesus went on taking all the books written on his divine will. So Jesus took all these books of heaven and he united them together and he pressed them to his heart. And with unspeakable tenderness, he added, I, Jesus, bless these writings from the heart, from his sacred heart. And I bless each word. I bless the effects of the value that these words contain and that these writings are part of myself. So Jesus says there are many, many books out there, but this is the only book that will transform a soul. The book of heaven, we have the book of life in heaven where our names are written in. Our life is written there of what God has planned for us to do while on earth. And now Jesus shows us that he's given us the book of heaven on earth. And as we read it, as we study it, we learn more about Jesus. For example, the gospel today, the two on the road to Emmaus, Jesus is talking to them about who he is. And they said, basically, when he was describing scripture, and the two said, weren't our hearts on fire? Weren't we on fire in this love of God as Jesus is explaining to us who he is? That's what happens when you read the book of heaven. Every day, if you're reading the calendar, every day, Jesus is giving you a new lesson. He's giving you a new talk. He's giving you a new knowledge, a new inspiration. And he's explaining to us everything that needs to be taught, everything that needs to be known. Our sacred scripture becomes alive. Our dogma and doctrine become alive. When we read the lives of the saints, it becomes alive. Why? Jesus is showing us this new and divine way of holiness that he's giving to the world. So he says, then he called the angels who prostrated themselves with their faces to the ground and to pray. And now Jesus is now showing us the importance of the priesthood. Since the two priests were supposed to see the writings were present, Jesus told the angels to touch their foreheads in order to impress in the priests the Holy Spirit, so as to infuse in the priests the light in order to make them comprehend the truths and the good that are in these writings of Luisa. And the angels did that, and Jesus, blessing us all, disappeared. So here is a prayer that Jesus has given to us through Luisa of how he wants the priests to embrace this gift of gifts. So the prayer is, Abba, Father, in the name of Jesus and the unity and power and the love of the Holy Spirit, under the mantle of our Blessed Mother, the Queen of Heaven and Earth, with all the holy angels and saints, through the intercession of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, we pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, call your holy angels as we all prostrate our faces on the ground and command your holy angels to touch the foreheads of your priests who are supposed to see the writings of Luisa Picaretta, the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. Why? In order to impress in your priests the Holy Spirit, to infuse in your priests the light, this divine light, in order to make your priests comprehend the truths and the goods that are in these writings of Luisa. And then we end always, we take our humble prayer and make it your command, that all be accomplished and completed in your most holy divine will. Fiat amen. We believe, we receive. Now, what's really beautiful about this is as Peter was in the boat and he saw Jesus walking on the water, he said to Jesus, if you're the Messiah, command me to come to you. Take my prayer, make it your command. Command me to come to you. Take my prayer and make it your command. And Jesus says, come. Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water. This is what Jesus has taught Louisa. In the divine will, the prayers will be Jesus's commands because we give it to him to be our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. We give it to him to be our God. And Jesus says, watch what I'm going to do. Scripture says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has embraced basically the love that God has for his children. So what does Peter do when he walks on the water? He walks 20 feet and he sinks. Jesus didn't pat him on the back and say, good job, Pete. You walked 20 feet and then you sank. He said, why did you fail? Why did you falter? Where is your faith? We see very clearly God is expecting a lot from us because he is the Lord, not us. He is going to accomplish things that we always would thought would be impossible. So in Vine 24, 4, 1, 19, 28, the necessity of the test and what the test shall be for the children of the divine kingdom. So we all have to be tested. My abandonment in the divine will is continuous. And that's what we want. We want to abandon ourselves to this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies that Jesus gave to Louisa. And while I was all abandoned in the divine will, I was thinking to myself, what might be the test that Jesus shall want from those who shall live in the kingdom of the divine will? So now there's going to be a different test for the people at this time. This is a different time. Remember Our Lady of Revelation in Rome in 1947, 40 days after Louisa died, Our Lady came to earth and she said basically to Bruno, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of this era. A new era has begun. So if Jesus wants a proof of faithfulness from everyone in order to confirm the state to which he calls them and to be sure to be able to entrust to the creatures the goods that he wants to give to his children. Okay, now this is very important. Jesus wants us to begin to recognize that he has great, great gifts that he wants to give to his children. And these are gifts that have never been seen before. Why? Because the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem are coming. And our God is asking us to get ready for this. So for if Jesus wants a proof of faithfulness from everyone in order to confirm the state to which he calls them and to be sure of being able to entrust to these children the goods that he, God, wants to give to Louisa, much more shall be required. This proof from the children of the divine will, the children of the kingdom. And they shall be the most sublime, that shall be the most sublime state that a human could possibly have that can exist. So Louisa said, but while I was thinking of this, my always lovable Jesus moved in my interior and told me, my daughter, indeed, there is no certainty without a test. And when the soul passes the test, she receives the confirmation of my designs and everything that is necessary to the soul that befits her in order to carry out the state to which the soul has been called by me. So Jesus says that he's calling us to this new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul prophesied at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia. He says, we're going to enter a new and divine way of holiness, quoting St. Honorable de Francia, who was Louisa's spiritual director. So he says, to receive the confirmation of God's designs and everything that is necessary to the soul that befits the soul in order to carry out the state to which the soul is called by God. He says, this is why I wanted to test Adam. So he goes back to Adam and Eve. I wanted to test Adam to confirm this happy state, his right of kingship over the whole of creation. And since Adam was not faithful in the test by divine justice, he could not receive the confirmation of the goods that God wanted to give to him. In fact, through the test, Adam and his children acquires the seal of faithfulness that gives the soul the right to receive the goods that God has established to give to the person in the state to which his soul has been called by God himself. So God is going to give everything that is need, the seal of faithfulness, the right to receive the goods established by God to give to the soul, called by God. So again, God's going to do this. And this is what we see in this gift, which we'll explore today a little bit further. This gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, is the state of the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary. That's why Luisa is the newborn. She's the first one to begin to live this life of Jesus, the new Adam, this life of Mary, the new Eve. So it can be said that one who is not tested has no value, neither before God nor before men, nor before himself. God cannot trust a man without a test, and man himself does not know what strength he possesses. So if Adam had passed the test, all human generations would have been confirmed in Adam's state of happiness and of royalty. In the same way, Jesus says, I myself, loving these children of my divine will with a love all special, wanted to go through the test for all of them in my holy humanity. So Jesus says, the test, Adam failed. So Jesus says, I will take the test for all of humanity. And he says, reserving for the children of the divine will, the one test of never letting them do their human will. Okay, so what is your human will? What is Jesus asking? He's asking us to use our free will to choose, do I want to live in my human will or do I want to live in God's holy divine will? Which will do I want? We have to make a decision, Jesus says. So first of all, we have to know, what is our human will? Our human will is when we go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. We're making that decision. My human will always leads me into sin. That's the fallen will of Adam. Even though we have been redeemed by Jesus and Mary, co-redeeming with Christ on Calvary, with Jesus on Calvary, we fail. Every week we've got to go to confession. So Jesus says this, with a love all special of these children at this time, I, Jesus, wanted to go through the test for all of them in my holy humanity. And I reserved for them only one test of never letting them do their human will. That's our test. And so what is our human will? No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. So this is what God is calling us to. Now, nobody's there yet. Luisa got there because she's the newborn. She has this gift. But Jesus is saying to us, no more worry. Trust in me. The final devotion that Jesus gave to the church, he says to St. Faustina, before I return is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. You are my Lord, my Savior, my God, you're my all. I trust in you completely. So Jesus says, when you really begin to trust in me, there is no more worry. He says to his apostles, when he says, does worry add one moment to your life? And he says, of course it doesn't. Then he says, stop worrying. That's a command from Jesus. Jesus, I trust in you. And that this is what Jesus says. The one test that we have is to never do our human will again. What does that mean? That means to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. So Jesus says to Luisa, the souls that are worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, the souls that are sinning, he says, are anticipating hell. The souls that are peaceful, joyful, and happy, striving not to sin, are anticipating heaven. So Jesus says, how are you living? Are you living a life of heaven, of peace, joy, and happiness? Or are you living a life of hell, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin? See, Jesus wants us to let go of the negative and embrace the positive. So he says very, very clearly, he says, but only and always doing only my most holy divine will, so as to reconfirm for the souls all the goods that are needed in order to live in the kingdom of my divine fiat. And then Jesus says, with this, I, God, closed all the exit doors for them. I anointed my children with invincible strength. Think about that. When we get anointed, call on that. Lord, anoint me with this invincible strength in such a way that nothing else will ever enter us. The so very high fences of the kingdom are around us. The evil one can't get at us. So we're going to get to that point. Nobody's there yet. We all go to confession each week. But Jesus says, I'm going to anoint you with invincible strength to always live in my divine will. And nothing will pull you down. No worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, and to the point of no sin. That's what's coming. He says, in fact, when I, Jesus, command that something should not be done, it is a door that I leave through which the human will can make its exit. And it is an occasion of the soul, and it always has, by which the soul can go out of my divine will. But when Jesus says, but when I say, this is what he said to Louisa, from here, there is no exit from my divine will. All the doors remain closed. Your weakness is fortified. And the only thing that is left for the soul is the decision to enter this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, and to never go out. That's what happens when you read the Book of Heaven every day. Every day, God gives you the grace to stay in. When we don't read, we fall away from God. It's an amazing thing, this Book of Heaven. He says, therefore, in order to live in the kingdom of my divine will, there shall only be the decision to carry out the accomplished act. And then he says, Louisa, am I not doing the same with you, Louisa? Do I not cry out constantly from the depth of your heart? And this is what Louisa would hear. Nothing dare enter but my divine will alone. And as the center of life, with its omnipotent strength of the divine will, with its dazzling light, my divine will keeps everything outside of you, Louisa, and eclipsing everything. It makes its prime motion of life flow in all of your acts, Louisa, and it dominates and reigns as queen within you. So this is a prayer that Jesus gives to us. Another prayer. Jesus, through your holy priesthood, anoint us with the invincible strength to pass the test that you are asking of each one of us, and that with your omnipotent strength, eclipse everything that is not for you, and make your prime motion of life flow in all of our acts, where it shall dominate and reign as queen in our hearts and souls like Louisa. This is a great time to be alive. Well, God is giving to humanity that gift that Adam lost. What was it? God breathed into the dust. The Ruach of God, the breath of God breathed into the dust. What came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. When Adam fell, Jesus says, Adam fell from such a height. It was a miracle he survived. And then Jesus came as the new Adam. Mary came as the new Eve. Why? To pass the test for us. And now that Jesus and Mary have passed the test for us, now this time, this new era that we've entered into, as John Paul II kept on telling us, get ready for the glory of the church. Get ready for the new springtime of mankind. That's where we are. This is a glorious time to be alive. The kingdom is coming. Everything is going to fall apart. Good. The kingdom is coming. Everything that we've depended on for the last 6,000 years is now coming to a close. Why? The kingdom is coming. We have to get ready for what God has planned. He tells Louisa, this is the fulfillment of the Our Father. So Jesus shows us what he has called Louisa to, and now what he wants to call us to. Now we're just at the beginning of this. When we want the divine will, Jesus says, he is conceived in our hearts. And then every act that you do, every round that you do in creation is another molecule added to that conception of Jesus. So finally, we can give birth to Jesus. Okay. This, and as Our Lady gave birth to Jesus, we're not going to do it like that, but He's going to gaze in our gazing. He's going to speak in our speaking. He's going to listen in our listening. He said to Louisa in volume 36, I created the human senses for God. God wants to gaze in our gazing. He wants us to participate in His I love you. See, that divine I love you. It's like the ocean. The waves come in, the waves go out. Jesus breathes into us the divine I love you. We breathe back to Him His divine I love you. He in us is doing it. That's why it's in the divine will. He is doing it. And He's asking us to allow Him to take His place in each and every one of us. So the mystical marriage, and Louisa talks about this, the longed for day finally arrived after not a little suffering, and Jesus drew near me. Jesus took my heart in His hands. Jesus dusted my heart, and then Jesus gave it back to me. And then He took a garment of immense beauty, and He clothed me with that garment. See, Adam was naked because he lost the royalty, the garments of divine, a divine Son of God. He was naked. Jesus says, now I'm going to give back to humanity the garment of immense divine beauty, the garment of royal nobility. And He clothed Louisa with a garment, and He bejeweled Louisa, her ears. And then He adorned her neck and her arms, surrounded her forehead with a crown of immense value. Now, while Jesus was crowning Louisa's forehead, Jesus told Louisa, my sweet spouse, I place this crown upon you so that nothing may be missing in order to make you worthy of being my spouse. Now, you have to remember, Jesus came to earth for a bride. And he's going to marry the church collectively, but He says to Louisa, I want to marry each person individually to be my spouse. I want nothing missing from my spouse, making my spouse worthy of God. And then He says, after our wedding was finished, I shall take you with me to heaven to keep this crown, this worthy crown for you at the moment of your death. So we haven't seen anything yet. Jesus is asking us, He's proposing to us. This is why we wear the wedding ring. He proposes to us his marriage. He wants to marry us. And He says, I will have this mystical marriage with you. And then He says, then I'll save everything for the moment of your death. And then we'll go to heaven together. You can't believe what God's got planned. The book of heaven tells us everything that God has planned for His children. So sometimes carrying me, Louisa said, with Jesus, He would take me to paradise. And I shall say that sometimes while finding myself in that blessed fatherland, I would be strolling together with Jesus in the midst of the choirs of angels and saints. This is the life that Adam had. Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening, strolling together with God in the midst of the choirs of angels and saints. Don't limit God. Don't say it's not going to happen to me. Then it won't. It won't happen. It can't happen. You've said no to God. We should always be, yes, Lord, let it be done. What do I need to do to accomplish what you have planned for me? What do I need to do? And so Louisa says, since I was newly espoused to God and all the blessed, the saints, the angels would unite together to participate in the joys of our marriage, Jesus would show me, this Louisa, to the saints. And Jesus would say to the saints, see this soul? She is a triumph of my love. My love has surpassed everything in her. Now, the saints learned how to do the will of God. That's what we read in volume 1 through volume 10. What Jesus gave to Louisa is more than we gave to the saints. He says that over and over again. I've never shared this with anybody, Jesus said, because now is the time I'm going to do this. It was like Moses. Moses and David and Solomon never received the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, never received the Holy Eucharist. It wasn't time. It's the saints. The saints didn't receive this gift of gifts of living in the divine will because it wasn't the time. Now is the time, Jesus says. And he's going to show us what this means, this new and divine way of holiness. So God has got great things planned, and he needs us to cooperate. So he's given us the book of heaven. It shows us how and why the kingdom is coming. When Jesus said to the saints, you must, or the apostles, you must be perfected as my heavenly Father is perfect. You look at the saints. Saint Dominic says this. Saint Francis says this. Saint Benedict says this. All the religious orders say something that leads them to what God wants. And people for the last 2,000 years would join the religious communities wanting to follow their understanding, the saints, their founder, the founders' understanding of how to love God more. Jesus is now giving us the book of heaven. And he says, now I'm going to show you how to live in the divine world through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's volume 11 through volume 19. And then he's going to teach us how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, which is volume 20 through volume 36. It's three parts to this. And as you enter into this, and this is, it is so much, it's such a delight to hear Jesus direct, guide, lead us to closer and closer to the Father and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So other times, then Jesus would make me stay at the place that was going to be mine in paradise. Now that you have to remember, God is making a place for us in heaven. He says, when it's prepared, I will come back to take you with me so that where I am, you will also be. We have a place in heaven that's going to be ours, only ours. No one else can have that place. It's one with God, fused with God in his holy divine will. And Jesus would say to Louisa, here is your place that no one can take away from you. Think about heaven. And again, there's no time or space in the divine will. You can go to paradise. Jesus will show you how to do that. He'll take you to paradise. As a matter of fact, Jesus says the gift that I give to my children of the divine will is by location, but it's not the by location of the saints. It's Jesus taking where he wants to take us. And like Louisa never got out of bed. You know, she was in bed for 70 years, Archbishop Piccieri says. When I went to Corrado for the first time, I saw in her, when they laid out her clothes on, you know, it was socks that were filthy, socks that were torn. They were holes in the socks from walking. And I looked at these socks and I would go, you know, at least they could have given her some new socks, not somebody's used socks. But these socks that were in the drawer was her socks because Jesus took her and toured the universe. He's going to do that with each and every one of us. Don't limit God. If you say, well, it's not going to happen to me, it won't happen to you. You have to be open to let it be done as, like Our Lady said, let it be done as you wish. Let it be done as you say. Volume 4, 11, 20, 19, 20, 20, 1900. While I am outside of myself, this is part of the bilocation that we were just talking about. My adorable Jesus continued to show me my heart inside of his sacred heart. But my heart was so transformed that, she said, I could no longer recognize which one was mine and which one was Jesus's. And it seemed to, I seemed to see my beloved Jesus occupied with preparing the place in which he was to put the heart, perfuming it, bejeweling it with many different flowers. And while Jesus was doing this, he told me, my beloved, since you must live from my heart, it is appropriate for you to take a more perfect way of living. Therefore, from you, I want. Now, this is late last night, I wrote this, I put this in the end. I forgot that I had put it in here. I put it at the end of the talk. I didn't send it out though. But today, this morning, we get a message from Father Bucci. This is Father Bucci. And Father Bucci, gives us this reading. This is so important that on the feast of Luisa's birth, God wants us to know this. So Jesus says, this is what I want from you. I want conformity to my most holy divine will. Because he says, you will only be able to love me perfectly if you love me with my own divine will. So that's the first thing. I want you to be perfectly conformed to my most holy divine will, to love me perfectly. There's no limit to this. Number two, he says, profound humility, placing yourself in front of me and of all creatures as the last among all. So what he wants, he says, you stand in front of me. I want this humility from you. I want you to stand in front of me, and I want you to tell me, Jesus says, that you are the last among all. You're the littlest. You're the most insignificant of all humanity. This is profound humility. It's not false humility. Our Lady said it. She says, I am the humble slave girl of the Lord. I am nothing. Let it be done as you say. This is what he wants us to do. Profound humility is to have the humility of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. The third thing, purity in everything. Because any slightest fault against purity, both in loving and in operating, is reflected in your heart, and it will remain stained. If all your works, all your thoughts, all your words, all your heartbeats, all your affections, all your desires, all your inclinations are adorned with the celestial dew of purity, you're going to weave a sweet enchantment, not only for the human eye, but for the whole of heaven. This is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to change. He says, this is what I want for you. This is what I want for my children. Number four, he says, is obedience. That must be connected with my most holy divine will. Because if this is the virtue that regards the superiors that I have given you on earth, my will is obedience that regards me directly. So Adam was disobedient. Adam was unfaithful. And Jesus says, we've got to get back to obedience. He says, but however, both of these have the same virtue, obedience to your superior and obedience to Jesus has the same value, and one cannot be without the other. Therefore, you must love both the obedience to your superior and the obedience to God in the same way. So Jesus says, you must know this, that from now on, you shall live with my heart. Therefore, you must see the things the way my heart sees it. So with our intellect, memory, and will, our intellect has to begin to know things from a divine perspective. Your memory isn't about you anymore, isn't about your family. It's about who is Jesus, the new Adam? Who is Mary, the new Eve? What did they do? How did they live? That's why praying the Holy Rosary is so important every day. He says, from now on, I want you to live with my heart. You must see the things the way my heart does. So what about your will? It can't be your human will anymore. It's got to be God's holy divine will. As Jesus said to the Father, not my will, but your will be done, Heavenly Father. As Our Lady said, let it be done to me as you say. Total surrender, total docility, total submission. You must see things the way my heart does, that I, God, may find my satisfactions in you. And then he says to Luisa, and he says to us, therefore be careful, for this is no longer your heart, but it is my heart. We surrender it to God. Volume 20, 113, 1927. See, in order to make the creature ascend again, okay, into the firmness, into the perennial good of God, into the unshakability of my most holy divine will, Jesus says, I now want to establish my kingdom in the midst of humanity. See, it's going to happen. There is no doubt. There is no doubt. See then in what point I have placed you. I have placed in you the firmness in the unshakability of the fiat. Jesus's fiat is to be our fiat. When God said, fiat lux, let there be light, everything was created. When Our Lady said, fiat mihi, the incarnation took place. And now that Jesus has given to Luisa the fiat voluntas tua, may your kingdom reign in me, this dust on earth as it is in heaven. With divine firmness, with unshakability of the fiat, so to allow you to lay this kingdom of mine within your heart, your mind, your soul, your intellect, your memory, your will. And just as my will triumphs over everything with its firmness, so shall you triumph of everything. There's everything that you struggled with over the years. It's just washes away like water off a duck's back. You're not going to believe what God is doing with this gift of gifts. Everything with firmness, you shall triumph of everything. And with its firmness and its unshakability of its acts, you shall reorder the divine order between the two wills, between God and man. This is what he gave to Luisa, and he wants to give it to us. The divine will, listen to this, shall be the regenerative in its glory, reintegrated in its glory. And the human will shall place itself again in the order established by God in the beginning. We're going to live the life that God breathed into Adam. What came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. So through holy baptism, we are in God's image. And now when we read the book of heaven, you enter into God's likeness. He's really changing us. He's changing us every microsecond. He wants us to be like him, image and likeness. And so this is why he said to the Eve one, take what's yours and leave. That's the 3 days of darkness. Death is coming to the earth. And God's saying to death, take what's yours and get out. The kingdom is coming. We are living in the most exciting times ever for humanity. This isn't about being good and holy and saintly. It's more than that. It's when the priest puts the drop of water in the chalice and the priest says, may we share in the divinity of Christ. God is finally going to have what he wanted from the beginning. And he's done this with Luisa, the newborn, the firstborn. And now he wants to do it with us. He saved the best for last. So in volume 13, 12, 5, 19, 21, Luisa says, tell me my life. Who is my family? See, this is going to make you happy. What is my dowry and yours? You know, what is this marriage? What is this wedding feast? Who am I going to be married into? What is this family? And smiling, Jesus continued, your family is the most holy Trinity. We are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's to enter into God's image. Now God's likeness is going to be even more than that. So he says to Luisa, don't you remember the first years of bed that I took you to heaven? And we celebrated our union before the most holy Trinity. And we and the three divine persons descended from heaven and took possession of your heart, Luisa, and formed our perpetual residence in your heart, Luisa. We took the reins of your intelligence, the reins of your heart, the reins of all of yourself, and everything you did was an outpouring of our creative will over you and the confirmation that your human will was now animated by an eternal divine will. This is what God has planned for us. We haven't gotten there yet. It's all a promise. And Jesus says, like with the anointing, the invincible strength that he's going to give us, you're going to accomplish this. Why? Because I'm going to do it in you. I'm going to be the one who's going to accomplish this for you. All you have to do is say yes and watch what I'm going to do. It's like Peter walking on the water. If you're the Messiah, command me to come to you. Come on out. Peter walked on the water. God is going to do this. And he says, I don't want to see you fail. I don't want to see you falter. I want to see your faith. I want to see you confident in what I'm going to do. Volume 20, 11, 6, 19, 26. My daughter, courage. Those are the first words of Pope Benedict. The first words of John Paul II was, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Benedict's words were courage. So what is Jesus saying to us? Let me finish to manifest to you all that is necessary regarding the kingdom of my divine will so that nothing may be missing in order to form it in the midst of the human family. Its full triumph you shall see from heaven. And we, you, Louisa, he says to Louisa, we'll do this together. It's Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. It's the three of them. He says, Jesus says, when I talk about myself, I'm always talking about my mother. When my mother is talking about herself, she's always talking about me. It's always the three that are going to be good. This is a great time to be alive. That the full triumph you shall see from heaven, and we shall do it together, my daughter. Your pains, your long sacrifices, your incessant prayers, that my kingdom may come soon. And my manifestations about it, I shall unite everything together with me, Jesus says, and shall form the foundations. And once I have accomplished everything, I shall entrust my kingdom to my priests so that like second apostles, the kingdom of my most holy divine will, they will be the criers of it. They will be the proclaimers of the kingdom of my most holy divine will. So he says, Louisa, live always in your precious divine inheritance that was given to you with so much love. See, Jesus is returning to humanity that gift that Adam lost. And Jesus says, he did what he had to do with redemption. Our Lady co-redeemed with Jesus. The Jesus and Mary have accomplished what they want. Now that they have accomplished everything, they want to give this to a human to give to the children. Adam was a human. Adam wasn't the son of God. He wasn't the mother of God. He was a human, perfect human. And now they said, now, Louisa, I'm going to give you this precious divine inheritance. And that was given to you with so much love. It is yours. It shall always be yours, inseparable from you. Nor shall I ever permit that my little daughter not feel the heartbeat of my divine light, the heartbeat and breath of my balsamic air, the heartbeat, the breath, the life of my most holy divine will. You're going to be one with God as God originally planned Adam to be. Do you see why this is not saintly, good, or holy? It's beyond that. It's sharing in divinity. As St. Peter says in his epistle, we are called to be divinized, to enter into this divinization. And that's what God is waiting for. Divinization. Thank you, New York. Volume 27, 11, 14, 19, 29. Now my daughter Louisa, the one who lives in my divine will, possesses the rights of her creation. See, all of creation is ours. Everything in creation, we have to become like Adam. We have to hear, see, smell, taste, touch all the I love yous of creation to us from God. Every drop of water is that I love you. Every leaf on a tree is that I love you. Every blade of grass is that I love you. Every grain of sand is that I love you. And Jesus says, I want you to be like Adam. I want you to embrace these I love yous and then give them back to me with my I love you, Jesus says. Not a human I love you, but a divine, I love you. This is what God is waiting for. He says, Louisa, you're the one who lives in my divine will. Louisa, you possess the rights of creation. Take creation as yours and then begin to thank God for everything in creation. This is what the round of creation is. Jesus talks to Louisa from volume 16 to volume 36 of how to pray your round of creation. Pray your rounds. Go around of all of creation and adore God and love God and praise God and thank God and glorify God. Your prayer life completely changes in the divine will. You begin to pray the way Jesus prayed for those 30 years before he met his apostles. You're going to pray the way Our Lady prayed before, during, and after Jesus was here. It's the rounds of creation. Now it's the rounds of redemption, what Jesus and Mary went through. The I love yous of Jesus and Mary, with every tear, with every drop of blood, with every pain, with every suffering that they went through, we now can take as our own, because they took our place, to give to God their I love you back to the Father, thanking God, praising God, loving God, glorifying God, worshiping God. It's not just to sit in front of the Blessed Sacrament reading a book. You go to the Blessed Sacrament to fall in love with God. That's what God's waiting for. Falling in love with God. Therefore, more than son, Louisa lives in the unity of her God. Louisa is the reproducer of the effects of the divine unity between God and man. The way Adam was. It is the unity. This is the life of Jesus. This is the life of Mary. In this unity, Louisa gathers everything. Louisa embraces everyone. Louisa warms everyone with the breath of the divine unity that Louisa possesses in the hearts of all humanity. All the effects that are present in the kingdom of grace. We haven't seen anything yet. You think the saints... I love the saints, but do you think the saints, they would want to be here? St. Teresa said, I want to live in these final days, and it's the final days. It's not the end of the world. It's the final days of this era. A new era is coming. A glorious era is coming. Don't be afraid of anything. Praise God, love God, glorify God, worship God. Be with our Eucharistic Lord, falling in love with God. This is what Louisa did. And this is what Jesus is teaching us. Louisa is the one who lives in my divine will. Louisa is the true son. And if you've read the book from the Vatican, the son of S-U-N of my divine will is Louisa Picaretta, written by the Vatican. It is such that apparently one sees nothing but light. One feels nothing but heat. But how many goods are there not inside the light and heat of the sun? How many effects the life and the goods of the earth that are enclosed inside the light and the heat of the sun? In the same way, listen to this. Louisa, the soul who lives in my divine will, everyone sees a creature, a soul. But inside Louisa, there is a divine will that sustains everything. That was Adam's life. Heaven and earth does not want to keep inactive Louisa, who possesses such a great good. So the prayer that we have for this, the third prayer is, Lord, may your kingdom come. Oh, please let it be known, loved, and possessed by the human generations. Volume 3, April 23rd, 1900. This is Louisa's birthday on April 23rd. And it's the holy oil of Louisa. This morning, finding myself outside of myself, I saw my sweet Jesus suffering very much. And I prayed to Jesus to share his pains with me. This is Louisa's prayer. And he said to me, Louisa, you too suffer. Rather, I shall take your place and you shall do for me the office of a nurse. So it seemed to me that Jesus placed himself in my bed, and I, beside Jesus, began to check his head, to remove the thorns that were driven into his head one by one. And then I moved onto his body and I visited all his wounds and I dried up the blood. I kissed them and I had nothing with which to salve them, to oil them, as to mitigate the spasms. And then I saw that oil was coming out from Louisa. Oil was dripping oil. Louisa was dripping oil from her. And I took it and I salved the wounds, tried to heal the wounds of Jesus. But with some concerns that I did not understand the meaning of that oil coming out from me, Louisa. Now, this is important. The oil of Louisa. It's very, very important. You'll understand little bit more later. But blessed Jesus made me understand that resignation to the divine will is oil. Okay? He's saying this to Louisa because she's the first one. But resignation to the divine will is oil. While salving and mitigating our pains, Jesus and Mary, salves and mitigates the spasms and the wounds of Jesus at the same time. And then, and after performing this office of nurse, my dear Jesus says, this is good. My dear Jesus, for quite some time, he disappeared and I came back to myself. So she was out of her normal state, healing Jesus. Okay. This is what is needed more than anything else today. Jesus is being ripped apart by humanity. The fastest growing religion in the United States is Satanism. Jesus needs to be soothed. And what does that mean? We have to be resigned, as Jesus says, resignation to the divine will. When we say yes to what Jesus wants, he's being healed. His wounds are being healed. So he's receiving a soothing healing. Now, this is what Jesus says in 5:13. The souls who live in the divine will, now he's talking about us, shall be for the mystical body of my church like skin to the body and shall bring all of its members the circulation of life. Healing the wounded. Healing the wounded. There are many people, your family's wounded. Your friends are wounded. Your neighbors are wounded. Your coworkers are wounded. Who's going to heal them? Listen to what Jesus says. Louisa says, finding myself in my usual state, I was thinking about the holy divine will, and I said to myself, all the children of the church are members of the mystical body of which Jesus is the head. And what shall be the place that the souls who do the will of God shall occupy in this mystical body? And Jesus, always benign, on coming, told me, my daughter, the church is my mystical body of which I glory in being the head. But in order to be able to enter into this mystical body, the members must grow to their proper stature. So this is what's coming. Healing is coming. You're not going to believe the amount of healings that are coming is just going to unheard of prodigies are coming through the church, through the priesthood. That's what Jesus tells Louisa. Wait till you see what's coming. Spiritual, physical, mental, emotional healings are coming. My daughter, the church is the mystical body, which I glory in being the head. But in order to be able to enter in this mystical body, the members must grow to the proper stature. Otherwise, they would deform my body. But alas, how many not only do not have the due proportion, but are rotten, are wounded, so much so as to be disgusting to my head and to the other healthy members of the body. Now, the souls who live in my most holy divine will, or shall live in my most holy divine will, shall be for the body of my church like skin to the body. The body contains internal skin and external skin. And because this in the skin there is the blood circulation that gives life to the whole body, it is by virtue of this circulation that the members reach their proper stature. And if it wasn't for the skin, for the blood, the circulation, the human body would be a horrid sight to see. And the members would not grow to due proportion. So he says, now, see how these souls who are going to live in my divine will are necessary for me. That's what Jesus is saying to us. You're necessary for God. Since I have destined them to be like skin to the body of my church, like the circulation of life for all the members, and they shall be the ones who shall give the proper growth to the ungrown members, who shall heal the wounded members. See, what's coming is this new and divine way of holiness that Jesus says is coming through Pope St. John Paul II. The wounded are going to be healed. Your family is going to be healed. The church is going to be healed. Who by the continuous living in my divine will shall restore the freshness, the beauty, the splendor of the whole mystical body, rendering the mystical body fully similar to my head, and shall sit with all majesty upon these members. And this is why the end of days cannot come if I do not have these souls who live as though dissolved in my human divine will. They interest me more than anything. That's the drop of water into the chalice. The drop of water fuses and diffuses, and the drop of water becomes wine. It's not oil and water. Jesus says, these souls who live in the divine will, they interest me, God, more than anything. And then he says this, what impression would this mystical body make in the celestial Jerusalem without the little children and the holy divine will? And this is what interests me, God, more than anything. He says it again. It must interest you also more than anything if you love me. So Jesus is saying the thing that he wants more than anything is his children to live in the divine will. This is what he gave to Adam. Adam lost it. So he comes as the new Adam. Mary comes as the new Eve to bring their children to this life of the new Adam and the new Eve. That's what they gave to Louisa. So he says, and I from now on shall give to all of your acts done in my divine will the virtue of circulation of life for the whole mystical body of the church. And like blood circulation for the human body, Louisa, your acts, and he says this to us, your acts, your rounds, extended within the divine immensity of my divine will, shall extend over everyone. And like skin shall cover all these members, giving them proper growth. And then he says to Louisa often, be attentive, be faithful. Be attentive to me is read what I'm going to do. It's all here in the book of heaven, the how and the why the kingdom is going to come on earth as it is in heaven. The prayer we have, Lord Jesus, we pray that your eternal fiat may be known. And just as it reigns triumphantly in heaven, it may come to reign triumphantly in the midst of humanity. We pray you, Jesus, that we may be anointed and salved with the oil from Louisa through the power of your holy priests, so that we may possess the invincible strength to live the most holy divine will on earth as it is in heaven, and become like skin to the body of the church, covering and healing all her members, giving them proper growth and bringing them to the circulation of divine life. Fiat, amen. It's not just life. It's divine life. This is the divine life of Jesus, the divine life of Mary. So Jesus wants us to know why this is happening. So in volume 12, January 29th, 1919, Jesus says, Louisa, my beloved daughter, I, Jesus, want to let you know the order of my divine providence. Every 2,000 years, I have renewed the world. In the first 2,000 years, I renewed the world with the deluge, with the flood, and it was washed clean. In the second 2,000 years, I renewed it with my coming upon earth when I manifested my holy humanity, from which as many fissures came from him, this light, this love, this life of God, where my divinity shone forth. He washed the world clean with his precious blood. The good ones and the very saints of the following 2,000 years have lived from the fruits of my holy humanity, and in drops, little bit, they have enjoyed my divinity. And he says, now we are around the third 2,000th year, and there will be a third renewal. And this is the reason for general confusion. This reason, everything is happening. It looks like it's crazy out there. It is nothing other than the preparation of the third renewal. If in the second renewal, I, Jesus, manifested what my holy humanity did and suffered, and the very little of what my divinity was operating, now in this third renewal, listen to this, is the sad part. After the earth will be purged and a great part of the current generation destroyed, I, Jesus, shall have even more, be even more generous with humanity. And I, Jesus, shall accomplish the renewal by the manifesting what my divinity did within my holy humanity, and how my divine will acted with my human will, and how everything remained linked within me, how I, Jesus, did and redid everything, and how even each thought of each creature was redone by me and sealed with my divine volition. So he says to Louisa, my love wants to pour itself out. My love wants to make known the excesses which my divinity operated in my holy humanity for humanity. Excesses that greatly surpassed the excesses of my holy humanity that operated externally. This is also why I, Jesus, often speak to you, Louisa. Often, this is what's so great. When we're reading the book of heaven, Jesus is speaking to us. This is why I often speak to you about living in my divine will, which I have not manifested to anyone until now. At the most, the saints have known a shadow of my divine will, but the grace, the sweetness of doing it, but to penetrate inside of it, to embrace divine immensity, to multiply with me, even while being on earth, to penetrate everywhere, both in heaven and on earth, and into hearts, laying down human ways and acting in divine ways, this is not yet known. So much so that not to a few will it appear strange. Those who do not keep their mind open to the light of the truth shall not understand a thing. That's why I say, don't say no to God. It's like what Our Lady said. When the angel came to Our Lady and said, you're going to be the mother of God, she says, how can I be the mother? I've made a vow of virginity. I'm not going to know man. How can I become the mother? What do I need to do to accomplish what God wants? How do I do this? And the angel said, it would be through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our Lady said, fiat mihi, let it be done as you say. It's the same thing for us. Jesus says, I'm going to do this. We all say, show me how to do this, Lord, and I'll do it. If whatever you need to have done, let it be done as you wish, not as I think. So he says, keep your minds open to the light of the truth, or you will not understand a thing. Then he says this is the great thing. But little by little, this is the great hope we have. Little by little, I shall make my way. I shall manifest now one truth and now another about living in my divine will, so that they will end up understanding. God's going to win. And he's called us to be his children. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. No heart has even come to understand the love that God has for us. Now the first link, Jesus is going to explain this to us. The first link which connected the true living in my divine will was my holy humanity. My holy humanity identified with my divinity and swam in the eternal volition of God. And it kept tracing all the acts of creatures in order to make them its own, to give back to the Father a divine glory on the part of humanity. That's what Jesus did. To bring value and love, the kiss of the eternal volition, to all the acts of humanity. In this sphere of eternal volition, Jesus said, I could see all the acts of humanity, those done, those that could be done and those that were not done. And also the good acts that were done badly. And I did that. I did those which had not been done. I redid those that had done, been done badly. And now these acts which were not done except by me alone are now all suspended in my most holy divine will. And I await my children, he says, to come to live in my divine will and repeat in my divine will everything that I did as God. Everything. And this is why I chose you, Louisa, as the second link of the connection of my holy humanity, a link which becomes one with mine. And see, he wants us one with him. There's one person I met. Jesus used to appear to him, and Jesus gave him the glorified body, and he for one day, and then he was looking at his arm, and it was glowing like a blue glow, and he could see the arteries, the tendons, the bones, the blood, the circulation of the blood, and he said to Jesus, "Why am I so happy?" And Jesus said to him, "We are looking at ourself. That's what's coming. We're going to be one with God, image and likeness of God, not to become God, but to be his children." And this is why he says, now these acts are suspended and I am awaiting my children to come to live in my divine will, to repeat in my divine will that which I did. This is why I chose you, Louisa, he says, as the second link of the connection to my holy humanity, a link which becomes one with mine as you, Louisa, live in my divine will and repeat my own acts. Breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating, walk in my walking, dance in my dancing. Jesus, I want you to be alive in me. Repeat my own acts. Otherwise, this side of my love would remain without its outpouring, without its glory from humanity. For all that my divinity operated within my holy humanity, and without the perfect purpose of creation, which must be enclosed and perfected in my most holy divine will. I want my, as he says, my Father wants us to look like him. It would be as if I had shed all of my blood and suffered so much and nobody had known it. Who would have loved me? Jesus said, which heart would have been shaken? No one. Therefore, in no one I would have had my fruits and my glory of my redemption. Interrupting Jesus, Louisa says, my love, this is what Louisa says, if there is so much good in living the divine will, why didn't you manifest it before? And that's our question. And Jesus said, my daughter Louisa, first I had to make known what my holy humanity did, what my holy humanity suffered externally, to dispose souls to knowing what my divinity did in the inside. The creature is incapable of understanding my work altogether. Therefore, I keep manifesting myself little by little. Every heartbeat, every breath, Jesus is telling us how much he loves us, how much he wants to be loved. Then from your link, Luis, of connection with me and my mother, the links of other souls shall be connected. And I, Jesus, shall have a cohort of souls who, living in my divine will, shall redo all the acts of creatures. And I, Jesus, shall receive the glory of the many suspended acts done only by me, but now from other creatures. And these from all classes, from virgins and priests and lay people according to their office. And they shall no longer operate humanly, listen to this, but rather penetrating into my divine will, their acts shall multiply for all in a way which is fully divine. God is doing it. God breathed into the dust his image and likeness. What came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God, fully divine, humanity. It's not that Adam was a god, but God wanted his image and likeness in Adam. And now he says, now it's going to come again. He says, I, Jesus, shall receive from humanity the divine glory of many sacraments administered and received in a human way. and others which have been profaned, and others sullied with interest, and of many good works in which I, Jesus, remain more dishonored than honored. And then he says this, I, Jesus, yearn very much for this time. And you, Louisa, pray and yearn for this time together with me. And do not move your link of connection with mine. But you, Louisa, must start as the first one. See what Jesus is doing? This is a glorious time to be alive. Volume 12, May 22nd, 1919. Louisa, my daughter, of all my works are complete. Therefore, the glory that the creature must give to me shall be complete. The last day will not come until the whole creation has given God the honor and the glory which I myself wanted and established. And what some do not give me, Jesus says, I will take from others. And these, that's the little children of the whole of the divine will redouble the graces which the others reject from me. And from these, I, God, receive double the love, double the glory. To others, according to their dispositions, he says, I reach the point of giving the graces, which I would give to 10. To others, I would give grace to 100. To others, those I would give to 1,000. Sometimes I give the graces which I would give to cities and to provinces, even to entire kingdoms. And these love me. These souls give me glory for 10, give me glory for 100, for 1,000. And in this way, my glory on the part of creation is completed. And when I see that humanity cannot make it in spite of their goodwill, I, God, draw her into my divine will, in which she will find the virtue of multiplying one single act as many times as she wants, giving me, the God, the glory, the honor, the love, which all the others do not give to me. This is why Jesus says, I am preparing the era of living in my divine will, and for all that the souls have not done in the past generations and shall not do, but in this era to come of my divine will, they shall complete the love, complete the glory, complete the honor of the whole of creation, and I shall give them astonishing and unheard of graces. That's Jesus's promise. Astonishing and unheard of graces. This is why I am, he uses God's name, I am calling you, Louisa, and all the little children of the Holy Divine Will, to live in my divine will. And I whisper into your ear. This is what Jesus whispers into us. Jesus, that we're supposed to pray. Jesus, I lay at your feet the adoration, the subjection of the whole human family, past, present, and future. And I place in your heart the I love you of all of humanity, past, present, and future. On your lips, I impress my kiss in order to seal the kiss of all human generations, past, present, and future. And I clasp you with my arms in order to clasp you with the arms of all of humanity, past, present, and future, to bring to you the glory of all the works of all humanity, past, present, and future. And Jesus says, when I hear that, he says, I hear the prayer of all of humanity praying with your voice. All of humanity, past, present, and future. And I, Jesus, Louisa says to Jesus, Jesus, I feel in you the adoration, the I love you, thy kiss of the whole human family. Jesus says, I feel in you, Louisa, all of humanity adoring me, loving me, praising me, thanking me, blessing me. All the glory that God deserves is given back to God in the divine will. How could I not give you, Louisa, the love, the kisses, the graces, which I give to all the others? Now, you must know this, Louisa, that what the creature does on earth is the money, the capital, which she forms for heaven. And therefore, if she does little, she will have little. If she does much, she will have much. If one loves me and glorifies me for 10 people, she will receive 10 more contentments, corresponding to as much glory that will be loved by me 10 times as much. If another loved me and glorified me for 100 for 1,000, she will receive contentments, love, and glory for 100 for 1,000. In this way, I shall give to the creation all that I have decided to give, and creation shall give me all that I, as God, must receive from them. And then my glory, my honor shall be complete in everything. This is a great time to be alive. That's why Jesus teaches us how to pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. As Jesus did, as Mary did. That's the way they prayed. That's the rounds. It's an explosion of I love yous to the throne of God. See, when the kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, the devil, who has been banished from heaven, will be banished from earth. He's not just gone from earth. He's not just gone from our solar system. He's gone from the universe. Can you imagine what that life is going to be like? It's very close. It's very, very close. It's very close. You got to get ready. Good things are coming. Amazing things are happening. He says very clearly, my glory shall be complete in everything. Volume 24, 530, 1928. My daughter, there is no more homage, no more beautiful and worthy of our adorable majesty than offering to us, triune God, our own works. As you pray your rounded creation, as you pray your rounded redemption, as you gather our divine army, you have to understand we are at war. And it's not a war of blood, Jesus says. It's a war of love. We are going to win with God. You have to understand this. We are the divine army. As you pray your round in creation, as you learn how to pray your round, you gather our divine army to send it to us as God's glory, as the fierce army that asks with insistence and with violence for the kingdom of divine will on earth as it is in heaven. Therefore, as you pray your round, you place the divine fiat as noble and a divine flag. This, the fiat. When God said fiat lux, the universe began. When Our Lady said fiat mihi, the incarnation took place. When we say the fiat voluntas tua, it's the divine army, divine flag. In front of each created thing, and with its tactics speaking, they ask with a divine strength for a kingdom of my divine will upon earth. Oh, how beautiful it is to see the whole creation bannered all over with a divine fiat. From the smallest to the greatest thing, they all possess the flag of the fiat placed by my little daughter, Luisa. She's the one. She's the newborn. She's the firstborn. They really look like a formidable army, waving their noble flag with authority. And they ask with repeated petitions for what? That they possess, what they possess. That is the kingdom of divine will upon earth as it is in heaven. Do you see what's coming? The kingdom is coming. The fulfillment of the Our Father is very, very close. That's why everything's falling apart in your family, with your friends, with your neighbors, in countries, all over, everything's falling apart. Why? If you live in a shanty and somebody gives you $10 million, you're going to tear down your shanty to put in your new house, your new palace. The kingdom is coming. This is not going to be here. The kingdom is coming. The new Jerusalem, the new heavens, the new earth is very, very close. Listen, we got to remember John Paul II. He said, get ready for the new heaven. Get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. The kingdom is coming. So then she says, then I continued to pray my round, and I kept placing my divine fiat, this Jesus says, not only in all of creation, but all the acts done by Adam in his state of innocence, and those done by the Virgin Queen, as those done by our Lord Jesus Christ, sending them out in an ordered army around the divinity to ask for the kingdom. Everything that Jesus and Mary have done, we're now going to do what Adam did before the fall. We repeat. The prayer is this. The prayer is this. Lord Jesus, we pray that your eternal fiat be known. And just as it reigns triumphantly in heaven, may it come to reign triumphantly in the midst of humanity. We also pray that we may be anointed and salved, oiled with the oil from Louisa, so that we may all be resigned to live and do and embrace the most holy divine will. Fiat, amen. This is a glorious day. It's an amazing day. Let me just put it this way. As you read the book of heaven, it's going to get better. Each day is more beautiful. Each day is more spectacular. And our Lord is asking us, he's really asking us to fall in love with him. Spend your time. This is what we have to do first. We spend your time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, looking at Jesus in the monstrance. But don't be there reading a book or praying your prayers. Fall in love with Jesus. Spend time adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him. Go through every 15 minutes. If you're there for an hour, every 15 minutes, you just cut the clock in quarters. Every 15 minutes, think of 15 things for 1 minute to adore God for. The first 15 minutes, adore God. The second 15 minutes, to be contrite. I'm sorry for my sins. This is, you know, I'm sorry for this. And then go through humanity, all that's happened in humanity, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Then the third part, go thanking God, thanking him, praising him, loving him, glorifying him, worshiping him for who he is. And then the final 15 minutes, supplication, you know, petitioning God. Don't go into this snapping your fingers. I want this. Adore him and be contrite and thank God and then supplicate, then petition. So it's ACTS. If you can't think of 15 things, if a minute is too long for you to do it, to adore God, think of two, think of 30 things to do for 30 seconds. Your hour goes by like that. You're falling in love with God. He's letting you remember all the I love yous that he has created for us. You know, all that he has done for the church, all that he's done for each and every one of us. Again, fall in love with God. Learn to fall in love with God. How do you fall in love with God? By falling in love with God. This is our job. Our job on earth is to prove to God that we love him. Don't lose any more time. Time has come. Time is short. Our Lady said that to Bruno. 1947, Our Lady of Revelation, time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the era of the evil one. For 6,000 years, he's ruled. For 2,000 years, we've been redeemed. Now Jesus says we've entered the 7,000th year, a day of rest. This is what God has planned. And he's waited for us. He's predestined us to live alive at this time to get to know Louisa. And the more we know Louisa, the happier we become, because what God shows to Louisa is astonishing. It's just unbelievable. So I'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that we are invincibly anointed by our God to live fully in the divine will, never doing our human will, but always his holy divine will. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you.